welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm your host, Greg Williams, and I'm joined again on this Family Foundation Friday by my co-host, David Walls. David, I'm going to say it again. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being here and all that you do.
Greg, appreciate you tremendously. Always good to be with you. Highlight of the week.
Well, it is for me, too. I have a few. This is certainly one of them, and I know you do, too. And we've got several things we want to talk about. Yeah. We know they're in the veto period with Governor Beshear taking the bills, and there's several things that can happen there. I'll let you explain that however you want to a little bit more. But we also had something happen this last week as we come on the heels. We're actually in what many churches call Eastertide, that time after Easter, leading up to Ascension and Pentecost in Scripture, those kind of things. But our own president made some clear statements and omitted some clear statements. Share with our listeners what was going on there, at least the best we can.
Yeah, Greg. And this, got a lot of attention. Proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility that the president, President Biden, put out on Easter Sunday. Now, as we were talking, preparing, Greg, I saw a little news clip about that, and I wasn't going to let myself get caught up in thinking about that on Easter, I was like, is this a day early April Fool's joke? But in all seriousness, it is, and what's the Transgender Day of Visibility? I mean, it's really just a proclamation that the Biden administration and others have done to push the transgender agenda, which is ultimately a false radical ideology, an attack, a very attack on the foundation of God's created order, in a way that they're trying to use to push an agenda and coerce really the entire culture into accepting something that's harmful and just simply not true. The idea that that we as human beings get to choose our biological sex and are not created from the ground up as men and women, as we know Scripture teaches us. Right. But the contrast, Greg, and I know there was a very short
paragraph
the president acknowledged about Easter as well, but it's hard to see this anything other than an intentional way in which the Biden administration was trying to really subvert Easter to promote something that is in direct opposition.
Anti-Easter. We can say anti-Christ. We can say that because it goes against the truth of Scripture. Here's another issue on that, David. You mentioned it not only damages and destroys children and young people and young adults or anyone that goes through that, but you mentioned it damages and destroys the foundations of our culture and society, and that is marriage and family.
Absolutely.
And I truly believe that's the enemy's desire in all this. That's what he's really after.
Yeah.
And that includes the church.
Right.
And so if churches aren't standing strongly on this graciously, but in that truth, they're going to fall prey to that, even if they don't fully believe in it or if they don't stand strong on God's truth and against those things, they're going to suffer consequences. Yeah. God's word tells us that. So it was a clear contrast. There's no doubt about that.
It was, and I think it's another wake-up call, as for churches and for believers to realize, look, this is a serious coordinated attack
on the
foundational truths of God's word, and on that has impacts in our culture tremendously.
Yeah.
Certainly concerning. But Greg, what's interesting on this issue is I really feel like the more that they continue to push this agenda, the more it's backfiring.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
The T in the LGBT has been the biggest stretch for people to comprehend.
Yeah. And to see what's happening to their children.
Right.
And
those it's such an affront on what people with their own two eyes can see.
Yes.
And it's asking folks to buy into something that we all know is just simply not true.
Destructive.
And so my hope is that not out of a sense of, hostility towards anyone, but out of a love and compassion of wanting to see people live out the reality of who God created them to be, that we will continue to see the culture recognize that this is a movement that we have to reject.
Yeah.
And further than that, the entirety of the sexual revolution that's pushing this agenda to say, look, we've got to go back and realize, in the same way that we know that what a man and a woman can't be redefined, marriage can't be redefined.
That's exactly right.
Either.
You hit the foundation, David. You went back to Genesis 1 and 2 and hit the foundation, and Jesus reiterated it in Matthew 19. And I would say this, you and I have talked about this before, we briefly mentioned it, but because Europe abandoned the word, generally speaking, the word and the church 10 to 20 years before the United States did, they are about that far ahead in this, and they've seen the absolute destruction of this ideology in their states and their countries, and they are shutting down almost completely across Europe. They're shutting down. They shut down the clinic in London. They're shutting it down because of the massive destruction that it's causing. None of this stuff they're telling us about depression and suicide rates is actually true. It's the other way around.
Right.
Hopefully we'll have enough listeners and people that will step up to say, let's not wait that long on these things. And to your point too, even on marriage, we can't do that. So thanks for updating us on that. And I think a lot of people may have known, but I hope we were able to give them a little more insight.
Yeah.
I mentioned the veto period. Tell our listeners a little bit about what goes on during this time.
Yeah, Greg. And just to share an update, you and I recorded last week right before the final day before the veto period start. And so certainly want to share an update. But we've entered into essentially a two-week period where the governor can has the opportunity to veto bills that were passed up until this point through 58 days worth of the General Assembly. It's a 60-day session, so they will reconvene on April 12th.
Next Friday.
And then also the 15th. So for two final days where they can override if they so choose, and they've done that on a number of issues, as you and I have discussed in the past, they can override the governor's veto on bills, and then they can do other business and pass other bills that are still in play. But what makes it significant is if they pass something on the last 2 days, then the governor still has an opportunity after that to veto it. And if he vetoes it at that there's no more legislative days what's likely to happen is anything that might get finished or passed on the final 2 days will be issues that the General Assembly is pretty confident that the governor will either sign, or as folks may know, the governor can choose not to sign or veto it and just let it go into effect after a period of time. Yeah.
So they can stand and say, they pushed me on this, but I didn't want to sign it. Things like that gives them some leeway, right?
Right.
So I think one of the main things there is hope you know if you have questions, let David know at info@kentuckyfamily.org on those things. But we need to pray.
Yeah.
We need to pray for our legislatures. We need to continue to pray for Governor Beshear as he goes through this time for those things. Now, you got some exciting news on one of them that's really good bill that passed midnight hour, right?
Yeah, and you and I were kind of praying and that this would have been the case as we were recording, but indeed, you and I talked about the important bill protecting kids, House Bill 278 by Representative Matt Lockett, that the Senate added a important online protections to protect kids from pornography by requiring pornographic websites to have to require age verification to ensure that children don't have access.
Right.
So that bill, as you and I discussed, passed the Senate on Wednesday of last week, and then indeed on late in the night on Thursday, it passed the House overwhelmingly, 96-0.
Both of them were unanimous, right?
So there was some work that still had to be done. A number of folks that were pushing just to make sure that got across the finish line ahead of the governor's veto period. I would expect that the governor's going to sign this bill. Like I said, it passed, I think it was 36-0 in the Senate, ended up passing 96-0.
Wow.
There was a little bit of a conversation in opposition that was expressed on the floor, but even those that kind of spoke against it ended up voting for it. And so, again, just to remind, Greg, the listeners, this bill will require that pornographic websites have to have meaningful age verification to ensure that children don't have access. And this is similar to, I think it's 8, maybe 9 states now that have passed similar laws, including Texas. You and I discussed last week, we won't go through it again, the harms that we know of pornography in general, and specifically pornography as it relates to children. And these bills have been effective. In some cases, some of these major pornographic websites have just shut down access altogether in states. Lord,
that's awesome.
So
I pray it happens here. I really do, because it's very destructive.
Yeah.
And by the way, part of that is not just that minors have to verify.
Yeah.
It means that everybody that gets on has to verify that you're a minor or not.
Right.
So you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And we all know that people don't want to be associated with that for the most part, because it's not good.
Yeah.
So anyway, continue to pray for that to go through. And then you've got a few bills you wanted to mention that I think we need to keep in mind and keep in prayer for next session, right?
Yeah. Well, and the reality is that there's a lot of disappointing missed opportunities.
Right.
That the important bills that the legislature, for a variety of reasons, and we'll continue to share our analysis once the session completely concludes. Mm-hmm. But a number of bills that we'll discuss that most likely are the governor would veto, so they didn't get passed before the veto deadline.
Right.
So they're probably, they're probably dead till next session.
Yeah, like
you know. And one of them was the big conversation about Senate Bill 6, the DEI bill to protect our
diversity, equity, inclusion, right? Yes.
A lot of conversation. That was a priority bill in both chambers. Senate Bill 6 didn't get it, ended up taken up. So that bill didn't pass. You know, we shared a lot, Greg, you and I, about the Baby Olivia Act throughout the last couple months.
Which was the video
months.
And human development in the womb, right, for education.
That bill did not pass. We had the Religious Freedom Restoration Act update by Representative Steve Rawlings. The House never gave that bill a vote. And then we had the medical conscience protections and to ensure our healthcare workers, a Recruitment and Retention Act. That was Senate Bill 239 by
Senator Douglas.
Bill, as we had shared, had passed the Senate, but and there would have been time, but wasn't given a committee hearing and didn't move forward in the Senate. We are thankful that's the first time that bill or related issue has passed out of either chamber. It is a step forward, and as we know, sometimes it takes a time.
The wheels
are going. I will say that issue though is ripe. It's been worked on by the Family Foundation and others for multiple sessions now, and I think we're going to continue to see concern that Kentucky hasn't joined other states in ensuring that our medical workers have the protections that they need to be able to confidently
perform their
duty, but to ensure that they're never coerced to do things that are in violation of their oath to do no harm.
Right, and their conscience, right? Yeah.
So we'll be sharing more analysis after the end of the session, but there certainly were some important issues that that could have easily been passed that the legislature chose not
to. And that's why we asked for prayer.
Yes.
And by the way, we have a primary election coming up in May,
Kentucky,
and we're
going to
talk about that more, but tell them where they can find more information.
Yeah, we're going to be soon. We're partners with iVoter Guide, and if folks go to our voter guide website at votekentucky.us, we're soon to be publishing and giving access to Kentucky's iVoter Guide, which is a great Christian voter guide resource covering Kentucky's upcoming primary election on May 21st.
Yep.
And then, of course, we'll also have a voter guide for the general election there as well once we get to November. More to say on that, but we always encourage folks to vote, and primary elections are primary for a reason. So important that folks get out and vote on May 21st.
Yeah, wonderful. And so there's a lot going on still. We'll continue to give you updates on that. Don't forget to pray for our Supreme Court justices and the chemical abortion case that's before them. Thank you for joining us. Thanks always for your prayers and to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ. I'm Greg Williams with David Walls, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.